For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, A Seared Conscience, as we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
I really wonder how these evangelists and all can really sleep at night with all of the gimmicks that they pull. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. I don't know if you've been cursed to be on their mailing list or not. But we keep a file. And the things that they can dream up to extract money from people. And you wonder, how can they do that? In the name of God, how can they tell such outlandish lies? The only answer is their conscience has to be seared with a hot iron. They have no conscience. For them to live in palatial mansions, do the things they do, and then get up and say, friends, we need your money. Our tour guide in Israel gets after me. He said, you don't know how to operate a tour. He said, tour leaders with famous names never travel with the people on a tour. They don't travel on the jets with the people. They fly over in their own private jets. And they don't get on the buses with the people. They get in private limos, and they'll meet the people twice during the tour and then fly home in their jets. He said, you travel all around with the people. He said, you never make deals with the tourist shops and all. He said, you just don't know how to operate a tour. He said, now, you ought to come and watch some of these fellows at work. The conscience is seared with a hot iron. How in the name of God can they do these things? Except their conscience is just seared with a hot iron. Now, in some of these last day weird things, there are those who will be forbidding to marry. Of course, marriage is becoming almost a thing of the past. It's move in with me. And there are so many just move in relationships without marriage. That's the thing of the day. Abstaining from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. A lot of the cult things and occult things get into vegetarianism. But Paul tells us these things, meat is to be received with thanksgiving, of course. For the meat is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So pray over your meal and eat it. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereinto thou hast attained. So remind the brethren of these things, Paul said, writing to Timothy. If you do, then you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ as you nourish them in the words of faith, sound good doctrine.
but refuse the profane and old wives' fables, but exercise thyself rather to godliness. Now, you can waste a lot of time in earthquake scares, reading a lot of the junk that's published. Better to exercise yourself unto godliness. Bodily exercise profits a little, or for a little. It doesn't really forbid it. It's good. It's got a little profit to it. But more profitable is godliness. It's profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Years ago, when I really made my choice between medicine and as a career and the ministry as a career, as the Lord was dealing with me and speaking to my heart concerning the ministry, He pointed out to me that by going into medicine, by becoming a medical doctor, by ministering to people's physical needs, I could help people, but at the best, it would only be temporal. So they're strong and healthy and live for 100 years. But if I would go into the ministry and minister to the spirit of man, healing the spirits, bringing spiritual healing, that I would be involved in something that would benefit them eternally. And he more or less put it up to me, how do you want to benefit man? In a temporary way or in an eternal way? And when he put it to me that way, I had no choice. Now, Paul is saying the same thing about exercise. Physical exercise has temporal benefits, but godliness has eternal benefits. Now, we are living in a day of, you know, it's sort of a craze, you know, this physical exercise. Jogging, aerobic exercises. The other night, my wife and I were eating a restaurant. We looked across the street. We saw all these heads bouncing up and down and all. And man, the whole time we were eating, they were bouncing. I did admire them. And I didn't eat dessert. But this bit of physical fitness, it's a craze. It's swept America. And that's all right. Paul's not really coming down on it. I mean, bodily exercise has some value. Toning up yourself and all, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But godliness, exercising yourself in godliness, hey, that you will reap eternal dividends. Let me tell you what. I used to be about the most physically fit person around. In time, it'll get all of you. I mean, you may, you know, go for it for a time. Sure, it's great. But ultimately, who was it? The guy that did all the writing on everything you want to know about running? How about that? Died of a heart attack while he was jogging. Mr. Fix. You know, better watch out for that jogging. It's dangerous to your health, you know. It could wipe you out. There are things that have temporal value. There are things that have eternal value. And a man who is wise will engage in those things of eternal value. He will choose the eternal over the temporal if you're really wise. There are things that can bring you temporal gain. There are things that can bring you eternal gain. The man who is wise will choose the eternal over the temporal. So Paul is telling Timothy the same. Bodily exercise will profit you. Timothy was a younger man, probably keeping in shape. This is fine. But hey, don't neglect the godliness, spiritual exercise. Now again, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's again, Paul uses this phrase. It's a true saying, and it's worthy that all should accept it. And that is that the spiritual is superior to the physical or the material. That it is better to exercise yourself in spiritual matters than in physical matters. One has only temporary value. The other is of life now and also that which is to come, the eternal. And because of this declaration, Paul said, the superiority of the spiritual over the physical, which is the opposite of the worldly view, therefore we labor and we suffer reproach. The world reproaches us. They take an opposite view of this completely. The time in church to them is a waste of time. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but only those who believe receive the forgiveness of sins. Jesus died to redeem the world, but he will only take his treasure out of it. And so he died and is the Savior of all men, but specifically those who believe. He provided salvation for all men, but not all have received it. These things, Paul said, you should command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. How old was Timothy? Well, he had been with Paul now, traveling as a companion for 15 years. Assuming that he was 15 years old when he started out with Paul, and that's probably a little young, but let's say that he was only 15. He's at least 30 years old now, so he's not just a kid. When Paul said, let no man despise your youth, you shouldn't be thinking of some 15, 16-year-old kid. Timothy is probably 30 or more at this particular point. But when the elders were not really considered elders until they became 50, there was that tendency to look down upon a younger man as lacking in the wisdom that comes from age and maturity. So let no man despise your youth, but instead be an example of the believer in the word, in your manner of life, in love, in the spirit, in faith, and in purity. Set the example, Timothy. Now, what Paul writes to Timothy is good for all of us. We should be examples of what a Christian is. Paul said to the Corinthians, "You are living epistles known and read of all men." As a Christian, the world is watching you. Be an example of the believer, not unto the believer, but of the believer, what a believer should be. This is how a believer should live. This is how a believer should act and react. Be the example of a believer in your words. The word conversation there is an old English word that it just doesn't mean in your conversing with each other, but in your manner of living, your total manner of living, let it be as becomes godliness and Christianity. In your love, the agape, in the spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So these are the three things that were done in the early church. The reading of the scriptures. It was a very prominent and common practice in the early church when the Christians gathered together to read the scriptures. These letters that Paul sent to the churches were to be read to the churches. So he tells Timothy, give attendance to the reading of the scripture. There's value in just the reading of the word of God, but then also the exhortation. as you are then prompting people to act upon the word, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now trust in the Lord. Now give thanks to God. And so the exhorting of the people, and then also to the doctrine. And neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So Paul here is mentioning how that when Timothy had hands laid upon him by the presbyteros, by the elders, they laid hands on Timothy and a prophecy came forth. And in the prophecy, Timothy's ministry was declared, directed. And now Paul tells him, don't neglect that gift that was given to you by the word of prophecy when the elders laid hands on you. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will both save yourself and those that hear you. Interesting. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in you doing this, you not only save yourself, but you save others. It is important that we are reaching out, important for our own continuance, that we go on and that we're pressing on and that we're reaching out. There's really no place for stagnation. This is something that I think that we all ought to really carefully examine our own hearts. The Bible says, now let a man judge himself, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And I think that we should all examine our own hearts and our own present relationship to Jesus Christ. And as I examine my present relationship to Jesus Christ tonight, is there a time in my walk with the Lord that I was more fervent than I am tonight? Is there a time when I was more excited about the things of Jesus than I am tonight? Is there a time when I was more diligent in my serving the Lord than I am tonight? And if in the examining of your heart, your present relationship, and your past experiences, if tonight you do not have a deeper, richer, more enthusiastic relationship with the Lord, then you are in a backslidden state. If at any time in your walk with God, your relationship to Him was richer, more committed than it is tonight, then you are in a backslidden state, and you should be very careful about that. The Spirit speaks expressly concerning the last days, that because the iniquity of the world will abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. Are you one of those in which the love is waxing cold? And it should cause us very serious consideration. Jesus said to the church of Ephesus, I have this against you because you have left your first love. Now repent. Do thy first works over, or else I will remove the candlestick out of his place. There is a story told of a man who was lost in a blizzard. And as he was just blindly walking through the snow, blinded by the blizzard, he was becoming tired and weary until he just stumbled and fell, and he just felt, well, I'll lie here for a little while. I just don't have the strength to go on. But as he was lying there, he came to the realization that what caused him to stumble was
a body that was lying there being buried in the snow. And so, realizing that there was another person there, he picked them up, felt that the pulse was still there, picked them up, and started trudging through the snow, carrying now this other person with a superhuman effort. And within 15 feet, he came to the door of a cabin where he was saved. But he came to a very interesting discovery. And that is, in saving this other person, he in reality saved himself. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them, for in saving others, you'll really save yourself. You see, you cannot minister unto others without being ministered to by the Lord. I've often said the best way to learn is to teach, because you have to study so much more in order to be able to give out that in teaching a subject, you really learn the subject thoroughly. And the best way to learn is to teach. The best way to develop is to give out. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them. For in saving others, in reaching out to others, you'll find that it'll be your own salvation. It'll be your own enrichment. It will be to your own blessing. Strengthening in the things of the Lord.
Designed for the student of God's Word, the New Testament study guide from the Word for Today is a valuable companion to your Bible. In this helpful resource, Pastor Chuck Smith provides a clear, verse-by-verse overview of the New Testament, designed to help you understand and study the Bible more effectively. Studying alongside your Bible, you'll discover keywords that clarify important Greek terms, excerpts from the Calvary Chapel distinctives, and Bible maps, charts, and diagrams that help bring the text to life. You'll also find thoughtful study questions for every book of the New Testament, making this guide ideal for personal study, small groups, or anyone who wants to grow deeper in God's Word. Strengthen your understanding of the Scripture and grow in your walk with Christ. Order the New Testament Study Guide today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. The New Testament Study Guide, helping you know God's Word and live it. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you to guide and direct you this week in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. May you be empowered by the Holy Spirit that you might be blameless, walking in love, walking in the things of the Spirit, a witness to the world around, an example of what the believer ought to be, bringing glory unto God through your commitment to Jesus Christ. God help you in these last days to stand strong, to stand firm, giving heed to things of the Spirit, to the doctrine, saving others, saving yourself. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Timothy on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Timothy 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.